Hi, Scott.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Doing well, and yeah, you're coming in just fine.
Great.
All right, so if you're ready, we'll get right down to it.
Let's go.
All right, let's start with your year of graduation and your major.
I graduated in 2006 and majored in music business.
Great. And do you recall your track in music business? There's like a management track, entrepreneurial track, some other tracks.
Yeah, I actually completed two of them. I did the management and I did the music products track also.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. There weren't a lot of classes to do it, so it was fairly straightforward to get them in.
Very cool. And hey, what was your principal instrument?
So my principal instrument at Berkeley was trumpet. I'm kind of a jack of all trades with music, and trumpet gave me the most opportunity to do lots of ensembles because, you know, it's not guitar.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, we'll get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do?
So I am an intellectual property attorney. And I work at Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company in Columbus, Ohio. I went to law school and wanted to do copyright and trademark law, mm-hmm. basically. And I figured out that in-house was kind of the best choice for me for this type of work, focus on one type of client, and also lifestyle. So it's a little less demanding than big law firm. So it's
by in-house, you mean one company hires you to?
I work at a company and not a firm. In-house.
And you do all the cases that involve them? Or in other words, you handle cases that involve Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company.
Right. And it's funny, we don't really do many cases. There's a lot to do that never has anything to do with litigation. I don't do litigation. I've never done it. I've always been a transactional attorney, helping foreign businesses, helping people protect their intellectual property. I've worked a lot with startups. So it's kind of the front end, getting people set up to not have problems. That's kind of the type of attorney I've been.
Oh, very fair.
Yeah.
I've purchased houses, and those aren't litigation attorneys. Those are, attorneys who are just, making sure all the paperwork's in order. Although I am curious, because you said intellectual property law, and then you said an insurance company, and I'm...
Yep.
Excuse my ignorance, but how does that fit together, I think of...
So, Nationwide is the Nationwide with all the commercials. Nationwide is On Your Side. Commercials with Peyton Manning. There's new commercials that have some famous musicians in them singing songs. Brad Paisley, Rachel Platten, Leslie Odom Jr. is in them. So there's actually quite a lot of intellectual property law to handle. So everything from the trademarks, which would be the name Nationwide, the logo, the N&E logo, the Nationwide is On Your Side slogan, and the jingle. I actually do quite a bit with the jingle. Pretty much anything legal related to the jingle I handle, which is great. It's probably the funnest part of my job. And then there's also, we've got attorneys that do in our group that do patent work. So there's patents related to developing insurance policies. I don't find that to be the most interesting thing in the world, but I don't work on it. And we also review pretty much all the marketing materials. There's general marketing issues with making sure that everything created is truthful. Also there's a lot of SEC rules about what insurance and financial companies can say about their products.
Okay. So
we review a ton of marketing. There's six attorneys on my team, and we're full of work.
And when you say six attorneys on your team, you mean like Nationwide Mutual Insurance is six in-house attorneys total?
Nationwide Mutual Insurance is six people in the marketing and intellectual property legal team. There's probably 200 attorneys in the building I'm in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How big is Nationwide? Do you know many employees?
Yeah, it's about 38,000 employees and independent contractors, and that doesn't count insurance agents.
Gotcha. Of which you said about 200 are lawyers.
Yeah, I mean, Nationwide is a Fortune 100 company.
Gotcha.
Big. Yeah.
Big. Okay. So it sounds like, as you say, it insures many different areas. It's not just like home insurance or car insurance.
Full insurance coverage, full financial services. There's a bank. We have real estate development group, there's quite a bit of different things going on within Nationwide.
Understood. So let's can I ask, because you know, people are going to be curious as to what is it lawyers do, or certainly, let's say, in-house lawyers do.
Yeah.
Do you mind, now, not going into the specifics of cases or anything, but do you mind describing, like, what's your typical day? Or if your days vary too much, what's your typical week? Like, what are you doing?
Okay, so I pretty much do three types of things. Yep. We do, my main role is a trademark attorney. We have, Nationwide has, I think, 400 federally registered trademarks. So every product name, every new way we use the name Nationwide, we look into, we have to vet to see if it's available to use. We look to see if we can register it federally with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. And then we report back to the folks in the company that are interested in using a name. And a lot of times we'll register trademarks, which is a whole process. And there's a legal art to getting them registered properly. And
do you play part of that registration?
Yeah, that's one of my main jobs is doing it. And, you know, that's a thing that, you know, getting registered trademark is a thing musicians need to do sometimes. So, you know, getting your band name or record label name. There's a really famous trademark case going on right now about the Slants, which is basically a Asian rock band who picked this name to kind of poke fun at, you know, racial stereotypes, but it was rejected by the USPTO for being basically insensitive to the Asian community. And it's funny because it was Asians who picked it. So it's kind of just flipped on the head, but it's really important because it's coming down on what's going on with the Redskins trademark.
Gotcha.
A lot of people care a lot about. So that's it was actually a band that's behind this. So there is a lot of trademark aspects to the music business as well.
Interesting.
Just to bring it back around to Berkeley.
Uh-huh.
And then I also do quite a bit of copyright work. So I just worked on like I mentioned earlier, there's a series of commercials out right now that Nationwide has where it's like a musician in a studio and they're kind of strumming and they play the jingle and they write a kind of – they have this little song about, you know, needing to be protected from things that happen, and it ends with the jingle. And they play a lot during NFL games. And I did quite a bit of work on those. So it's Rachel Platten, who sings a fight song. Mm-hmm. She has one. Brad Paisley and Leslie Odom Jr., who's from Hamilton, the musical.
Okay, yeah.
Aaron Burr. So I worked quite a bit on getting the contracts in place for them.
Gotcha.
Working with their people to, you know, get them to – they actually contributed some ideas to the music. Mm-hmm. You know, had the music written, and then they – kind of put their own spin on it. So we had to make sure that all the rights were covered with regard to that. Then I've been working to get federal copyright registration for the commercials to cover all the aspects of it. And then probably the last thing I do is marketing review. Everybody on my team has to do it. There's tons of it to do and it needs done.
You said marketing review?
Everything from commercials to radio spots to, you know, inserts that go out with annuity updates. You know, there's a ton of materials that go out to the public. It all needs to be looked at to make sure it complies with advertising standards.
Gotcha. And I'm curious, because you mentioned like filing for a trademark.
Yeah.
On things. I actually recently spoke with someone who works in a patent office.
Mm-hmm.
He described a very, very long multi-year process on doing that.
Yep.
I get the impression that, you know, trademark's a little easier, but do you mind just walking us through, like, what's the step-by-step on getting
sure.
that done?
Yeah, so it is much, much simpler than a patent, but it still has a number of steps. I think it is the kind of thing where, you know, a smart entrepreneurial person that has an easy one can figure it out and do it themselves. But once you get into, a trickier type of product or service, or there's more nuance, or there's other trademarks out there, it can get pretty complicated. So basically, you come up with a name for your product or service, and you would want to make sure that no one else has a federally registered trademark for it. If somebody else has something that's the same or even similar, the standard is whether it's confusingly similar, you're going to get rejected because somebody else already has it. So you got to make sure that yours is unique enough to your service and product. It also has to be somewhat distinctive. So you can't get a trademark. Like if you make bricks, you can't call your company Brick Brand Bricks and get a trademark. It's generic for the product, so it's going to get rejected. You have to have something that kind of is a little bit different. So something like Apple is interesting for computers. Has nothing to do with computers. It's a perfect trademark, completely registrable. So there's a whole spectrum of these. So it needs to fit that. Then you file for it. You have to show the USPTO, and it's the same. It's the United States Patent and Trademark Office. The same office does patents and trademarks.
Okay.
And you have to show that you're using it and show how you're using it and also submit basically a description of your services. This is probably the most legalistic issue because you've got to kind of phrase it how they want to see it. You kind of have to learn the art of drafting this. It's a pretty simple thing usually, but you want to get it right. You can actually register a trademark, and if you do the services wrong, it doesn't protect anything. So you want to get that right. From filing to registration, it can take, if everything goes completely smoothly, 7 months. Okay. Beyond that, it can take years. But usually it's about 7 months to a year and a half.
Gotcha.
And then once you're registered, you can use the R circle symbol.
Gotcha. And I'm sure it varies, but for a given registered trademark that you work on, like how many hours are you putting into that?
It really does, and it also depends on, you know, I was at a law firm doing this before. I probably spent less time at a law firm because you bill the client by the hour. So you got to get the work quickly. The nice thing about in-house is you can take a little bit longer, get to make sure things are can be a little more detail-oriented and kind of consider what might happen in 3 years, whereas a law firm, you kind of get the work done.
Sure.
Well, it's one of the things I like about in-house. We're a little more strategic long-term. So an easy trademark, you know, probably 3 to 5 hours of vetting it to make sure it's going to work, and then probably an hour of prepping and filing, and then another hour of updating over the course of it. Mm-hmm. Complicated ones, you know, 100 hours. Most of them are not that bad, though. But if it's an important mark, you know, you got to put the time in. So for Nationwide, the important ones are Nationwide, our logo, which is an eagle, and Nationwide is on your side, the phrase and the jingle. I mean, anything with those, I'm not going to spare any. I'm not going to worry about how much time I'm spending on it because those are hugely valuable assets to the company.
Sure. Sure, that makes sense. Hey, how long do you typically work each week? The standard 40 hours?
Yeah, that's the benefit of in-house versus a law firm. Law firms, big important law firms, you're looking at 60 to 80 hours a week. 60 to 80. In-house, 40 is pretty good.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, and so it sounds like you said all these things basically involve communication. And do you have a lot of legal, let's say, templates that you work off? Or are you writing a lot of stuff up from scratch?
Yeah, definitely a lot of templates. You know, kind of give the same advice a lot. You know, we have there's certain issues that always come up, and our team has developed our take that we try to consistently give. So, you know, there's a lot of figuring out what is Nationwide's stance on this topic or issue and then trying to apply that consistently. So it naturally leads to kind of saying the same thing sometimes because we do need consistency in how we treat trademarks and how we deal with third-party property that people want to use.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
I would say in the legal community, it would be considered dangerous. It is considered dangerous to do things from scratch because precedent and consistency is so important.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So you've mentioned that you're part of a 6-person team. And
yep.
It sounded like you're the jingle guy, so to speak.
Yes. And I am really lucky to get to have done that. I actually wrote some jingles for a while. I had a little business going. I sold a couple.
Oh, nice.
I know that when I went into interview and I talked about that stuff, and they were like, we have all this jingle work. I know that helped me get hired. So it's sweet for me.
Yeah. No, that works well. I was going to ask, like, that said, it sounds like the jingle stuff doesn't fill 100% of your time.
No, it's more than I ever expected it would be.
Okay.
So, but
how do sort of who determines who gets which piece of work on the team? Is just like you take the next one in the queue if you have time, or does somebody allocate things to you?
I think our team has the goal of everybody touching a little bit of every type of thing we do, so that everybody's informed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if somebody's out and things come up, we can get handled. But no, we all kind of have our little specialty areas. Me, one other attorney, and I do all the trademark work now. I kind of handle all the copyright and the jingle stuff. There's a guy who does, he's the patent guy. There's a guy who is the, he does all the sponsorship agreements. You know, he works with Peyton Manning and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and the kind of that big visible stuff. And then we have a team leader who's everybody's boss.
Understood. Okay, so.
But everybody needs marketing review because it needs done.
It needs to happen, right? So.
Yeah.
Sure. One thing to qualify to do these interviews is that you have to enjoy your field at least.
Yeah.
So I can definitely hear some enthusiasm for your work in your voice, but I'd love if you could quantify a little more. What is it about your field or your job that you enjoy? And you're welcome to go specific in like what you like about your specific job, or even just what you like about being an in-house lawyer.
So I think, are you going to ask me how I ended up deciding to go to law school? Because I think the answer is kind of tied up in that as well.
I will be asking you that. Yeah.
Can I answer that first?
Sure.
Okay. Sorry, it's your interview, so I want to respect your order of questions, but I think it's easier for me to answer that if I talk about how I ended up going to law school in the first place.
Okay, very fair.
So I was doing a music business program at Berkeley. Like a lot of folks who show up at Berkeley, I was one of the best musicians where I came from. Uh-huh. And I'm to Berkeley, and I'm average, if not less than that. And which was, you know, Not a painful thing. It was amazing being around. I mean, I saw amazing things all the time, and it was awesome. But I started to think about, you know, what am I going to do? My family has a history of music businesses. My grandparents owned a chain of music stores, instrumental stores.
Oh, nice.
And my dad also had a store. All my family are band directors, so it kind of made sense to go in that direction, do the music business classes. It was also a good way to convince my family. I actually transferred to Berkeley, and it was a big jump for me. I had to try to convince them all it was the right move. You know, I think that's kind of an underappreciated part of Berkeley for a lot of people. Like, it's a big decision to go there.
What were you studying before you transferred to Berkeley?
I'm from Columbus. I went to Ohio State. I started music. If you want to do music at Ohio State and schools like that, you either try to join an orchestra or you become a band director, neither of which interested me.
Gotcha. So you were doing music, but you're like, let's go to Berkeley because, of course, you know, preeminent school for music.
Yeah, because I want to do the stuff I want to do and be doing the coolest, most cutting edge stuff and be around all these great people.
Sure.
So I was going to do the music business. I get there and, you know, the musician level is just through the roof. And I, as much as I felt, you know, understood my place as a musician there, I did well in the music business classes. I was always good at school, you know, and kind of being a lawyer is exactly the same as being good at school. Read, study, apply it. So taking the music business classes, you know, a lot of the courses are taught by lawyers, and it's kind of cool. I think like there's probably 5 or 6 people every year that go to law school out of Berkeley, probably more now, but from when I was there, I know other folks that did as well, but, so that was really taking those classes. I had to take the Intro to Music Business course, which was really great. Jay Fialkov taught that was one of my favorite classes. He taught the Advanced Music Business class where we did negotiations.
Uh-huh.
And he, you know, it was all these scenarios, a lot of them which were from his music business or music attorney career. And it was awesome. And he was great. And it really put that idea in my mind of going to law school and being an entertainment lawyer. And I also worked on the – I was one of the founders of the Music Business Journal that is still going today at Berkeley. And we had a, you know, music law section. And I just realized, like, I could do that and still stay connected to music and, you know, potentially make a living, which is the hard part of pursuing music.
Sure, sure. So in other words, when you're still at Berkeley, you're thinking music law.
Yeah, and I didn't do it right away. I graduated, and I really wanted to work at Newgrade Comics. So that was just, like, the coolest place. Mike Dries was always at Berkeley speaking and being a fascinating character of a person. And I was just, like, I wanted to work there. And Peter Olideff helped me out, and I worked there for about a year and a half. I was in the marketing – not marketing. I was in the internet department, kind of just managing their internet stock and doing – It was a really great.
What do you mean by their internet stock?
So at the time, they probably still do this. I haven't kept up real well, but at the time, Newgrade Comics was like one of the top five sellers of new and used CDs and DVDs on Amazon and eBay.
Okay.
So I was responsible for selling all the stuff. I was responsible for all the listings on Amazon.
Gotcha.
So it started. It was great. I really liked. I really got a lot out of working there. I think I learned how to work working there. That place is serious. People are working there. but which is funny because it's like such a cool, hip place to be. But it's people are really doing a lot.
Hey, Berkeley's a cool, hip place to be, and people are busting their tails at Berkeley,
exactly.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. But it started to get more and more – you know, I was in that department, and they really wanted me to start doing – Microsoft Access and get really into programming, and that was not for me. So I kind of just was like, all right, I was thinking about law school. Now's the time to do it. And so I did a bunch of research. I talked to a bunch of lawyers. I decided to try to go to Ohio State because I'm from Columbus. It's a really good school. I thought it was kind of the balance of where I could get in, plus they have cheap tuition if you're from Ohio.
Gotcha.
So I moved back here and worked to get into there. I did, and –
so in the we're talking fall of 08 here?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I get there, and I think by this time, and I've experienced this, I kind of lost interest in being an entertainment lawyer. And I realized, so the main thing you do when you're an entertainment lawyer, legal-wise, is basically it's kind of like small business with elements of intellectual property. You're going to set up businesses. You're going to advise people on contracts. And other than knowing the nuances of that specific business, it's really not that different than being a startup or just other small business attorney. So I kind of shifted my focus and I got more interested.
This is while you were in law school, you realized this.
Yeah. And I've never had a great interest in, I think one of the main reasons to be an entertainment lawyer is because you want to be in the music business, in the, you know, a mover and shaker in, you know, what's going on with the major labels and the big stars. And I never really, I was never into that. I was always into way more underground stuff, and it didn't make a lot of economic sense to try to be that type of attorney.
Gotcha.
So I've kind of changed my focus, more just business law, and I took a trademark class, and I just fell in love with trademarks. It's a fascinating concept, and, you know, I grew up in the 90s. You know, when I was in middle school, I cared about brand names a lot, and that's basically the law of branding. And it's really interesting, and it's always changing. I think it makes a lot of sense when you kind of get into the nuances of it. I'm doing more and more copyright, which seems simpler on the surface, but is actually way more complicated and difficult, I realize now. So trademark is very it's just a really fun area of law. I think there's a lot of areas of law that aren't very fun, in my opinion. I'm really glad I don't do anything else. I wanted to do trademark and copyright and some business law, and that's all I've done, and I don't think I could do anything else in it.
Well, I've definitely, when you described even some of the other aspects of your job, and I've definitely spoken to lawyers who say they feel like glorified proofreaders.
Yeah, sure.
But okay, so yeah, this is what's relating to what you like about your job. You really like the aspect of trademark law.
Yeah, so you get these concepts, and it's kind of the fun stuff of life to me, music and art and kind of – I think branding is fascinating, and it's the legal parts of that and figuring out how to protect your clients interests based on those concepts and all the news that comes out, you know, following trademark law, following copyright law. I mean, it's interesting stuff. So I'm always interested in what's going on with it. I don't have to force myself like if I did real estate law. Like, gotcha. It's interesting stuff all the time.
Understood. All right. Oh, hey, let's just continue on your path there. I've heard that sometimes people line up a job when they're still in law school. Was that your case, or did you graduate and then say, okay, now what?
So I graduated. So the typical thing you're supposed to do, and what I was told, and what every book you read will say, is go to law school, don't focus on anything, get the best grades you can, get a summer job at a big law firm, do that summer, get an offer from that law firm, stay there until you're a partner. Mm-hmm. And all of that ignores, you know, the type of work you want to do. I was told not to specialize in law school, but I happened to graduate in 2011, about a year or two after the economy changed.
Yeah, it was still pretty bad in 2011.
And the legal market changed drastically in the years I was in law school. Not a lot of people had solidified jobs coming out of law school. It was rare. And so I did not have a job when I graduated. I didn't have a job when I took the bar. I didn't get a job till September after graduating in May, which is highly atypical. And one of the reasons people go to law school is because they want consistency. They want a safe path to a specific type of lifestyle. And, you know, lawyers are risk averse. And it was crazy to take this path and then not have that promise of what you thought was going to be there. But I ended up working at a small firm, a bunch of guys that were younger but were great attorneys that got let go from the big firm jobs they had. And, you know, that I never would have had that kind of opportunity if the economy hadn't changed.
Sure.
And so I got to work with like really great people and got to do stuff, really in-depth stuff right away. You know, I was working with clients, you know, day one, whereas in a big firm, you might not do that for a couple of years.
Hey, quick question. Do you recall how you got that job?
I do. I think one of the big things I did was, I think I picked this up from Berkeley, because Berkeley is always pushing you to go to events all over. I went to NAMM in California when I was at Berkeley. And I remember some of the people I was in the music business program with working to get jobs while they were there. And I know some people did. I have a friend that got a job at Apogee pretty much from that trip. And so I wanted to do trademark. So right after I graduated, there was the International Trademark Association, which is basically the trademark organization that everybody in the world belongs to. It's super important in the trademark world. I went to it as a student. I set up tons of meetings with people. I think I had 25 meetings. Like, I was cold emailing people saying, I'm a student. I want to meet. What you do sounds interesting. I ended up getting a couple of interviews out of that. Didn't get a job out of it, but somebody I met there did know somebody at the place I ended up working at. So in a roundabout way, I think that helped.
So they said you out. They said, hey, you might be interested in this place.
Yeah. Actually, I had applied to a place, and the guy who hired me and became my boss reached out to somebody he knew that knew me, that knew, saw that I had met at the conference, basically.
Gotcha.
And I did get some other interviews out of it. It was hard to get a job then. I had a lot of interviews without getting hired, and I don't think that's – I don't look at that as anything more than it was tough back then. And it's probably not that much easier now, because the legal field has changed quite a bit. I've gotten really lucky. I mean, I feel like I've worked really hard with a really specific goal and still took a lot of luck.
Gotcha. Sure. So, hey, let's just continue on your path. So there you are at the small law firm.
Yep.
You're, as you said, thrown right into the deep end of the pool right away.
Yep.
How long are you there for?
I was there 3 years. I wanted to do trademark law. They didn't do it. I started the practice. It was great. I had a boss that let me do it.
Cool.
I learned it on my own, which was struggle at times, but I wouldn't have done it a different way now. Yeah. It's, you know, and then I took that. I kept, you know, we focused on tech startups. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our clients, you know, we'd set up their businesses, get them set up for funding, but a lot of them were IP based. So I would give, you know, a lot of advice on copyright issues, get trademarks, a lot of really unique marketing things. I mean, folks come up with some, you know, people trying to disrupt, you know, that it was, it's those types of startups where we were working on. So people had these ideas that really wouldn't, don't always fit into the scheme of how things are done because they're trying to do it in a new and quicker way. So there were tons of IP issues. And I just kept my eyes open for an in-house job is what I wanted.
By the way, do you mind sharing the name of this smaller legal firm?
It doesn't exist anymore. The partners came together and came apart, and there is no firm that I can – it's kind of funny. There's no firm I can point to.
Okay.
Like on my LinkedIn, I just have the partner I was closest with. It says I worked at his firm, but I didn't.
God, it was this other thing that – now, did you leave before it fell apart, or was it like coming apart and you said, okay, time to go?
I left before – it was building. It kept getting bigger. It got bigger and bigger while I was there. And I wouldn't say it fell apart. It just changed.
Okay.
So people are gone. Some people came in. Because, you know, the people doing it, they're young and quick moving. You know, it's very entrepreneurial.
Gotcha.
So now,
and you were looking – but you wanted an in-house job – can you just describe like why you decided to do? You mentioned a little bit of it earlier, but what was your thinking at the time that made you say, "Oh, yeah, in-house, yeah, let's do that"?
The work-life balance is good. You're more guaranteed to be working on the type of work you want, especially at a big company. I like the idea of one client. The longer scope of what you're doing, kind of, you know, I think about things are 5-10 years. Whereas at a firm, it's you might do that. I mean, you should do that, but it's way more about the work in front of you right then, getting that done.
Gotcha. So you kept your eyes out. Do you recall how you got the job?
Yeah.
Go on.
I always worked really hard to maintain. I know all the trademark attorneys in Columbus. You know, I worked really hard to meet everybody, and I was always emailing people and trying to get together and network. And, you know, networking is, you know, as a word, I don't love it. And I remember being at Berkeley, being told to network and thinking that sounds so disingenuous, like just going up to somebody and putting yourself in front of them and forcing them to pay attention to you. But really it's, you know, you meet people and, you know, you might meet 20 people and you really connect with one of them and they become a mentor, and those relationships are amazing. And, mm-hmm. So if, you know, if anybody's listening and feels that networking, it always not dirty. It didn't feel dirty. It just felt inauthentic to me, that concept. But it really, it's worth it to try to meet people who are doing what you want to do, because sometimes you do get a great connection. I've had 3 or 4 incredible mentors that are been super important to me. And I do it for younger people as well when it comes up. And I think that's actually a really big tradition in the legal community.
Sure.
Which is one thing I actually really like about it. I wasn't expecting, really. So somebody I knew that was a mentor said, hey, this job's open, gave me a recommendation. I applied. I mean, I wouldn't have gotten the job if I didn't have a couple people to really vouch for me. So
they told you and they went and said, hey, this Scott Brown guy, he's good. Give him a real shot here.
Yeah, definitely.
Gotcha. Actually, you mentioned Peter Olideff, you know, who you'd had at Berkeley. That's how I got the job at Berkeley.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he got me the job at Newbery Comics pretty much.
Yeah.
I showed up and interviewed, but he got it.
So, great. And that was your job at Nationwide, and here you are.
Yeah, it's. I think it's pretty rare to get a good job just based on submitting a resume and showing up for an interview. I mean, those personal connections are huge.
Mm-hmm. Understood. All right. Great. So, hey, let's move on to the third part of the interview. My first question for you is, what, if any, is your current relationship with music?
Oh, so I'm still pretty active. I do, you know, I get to do some music-based stuff at work, which is great. I actually kind of like to... Like I said, I've never really been interested in mainstream music or music for celebrity's sake, anything like that. I was always super into, I was really into underground punk bands, into, you know, out there jazz. And, it's, It's what I like about not working in music is that my relationship with music is very pure. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to ever – I used to teach lessons, which was great, but I don't ever have to do anything that isn't just straight creative – creativity based and just for the love of it. So I really like that aspect of not working in music. And I don't think that's something that's probably not for everybody. I think there's a lot of people that can work in music and it's the best thing ever. But it's the one thing I appreciate about not working in it.
Can I tell you, you are far from the first person who's articulated it like that.
Yeah.
It can be more fun when you don't have to pay the bills with it.
Right. You know, it's funny. I feel like I feel like I was surprised at this, but you get to Berkeley and there is a lot of really amazing creativity and a lot of amazing people doing really out there, just incredible stuff. But there is an element of working towards mainstream success at Berkeley. And it had never really crossed my mind before I got to Berkeley. And then I saw people doing it and I was like, whoa, wait a second. Am I supposed to be doing this? And it just isn't for me, you know, and
Hey, can I just ask, I love the general direction you're going. Do you mind just quantifying it slightly more? Like, where are you doing with music? Like, are you still writing music playing music or, you know?
Yeah. After Berkeley, so I always played guitar in punk bands. Before Berkeley, I had toured with a band. I did a U.S. tour. After Berkeley, I toured with a band from Boston. We did a U.S. tour. I didn't love touring. It's fun, but it's a tough lifestyle. It's debt from school, you know, you can't really support yourself on it. So I've always played guitar in bands, always. Mm-hmm. And I kind of go through phases and I'm okay with it, of what I'm into. For a while I was writing jingles. That was really fun. Right now I have a 3-piece kind of like 90s Dinosaur Jr. type band. I'm writing all the songs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're pretty active in Columbus. It's great. We actually did a cover set for Halloween. We did only songs from Green Day's Dookie.
Huh.
And I thought it was not going to be that hard. Like, oh, I went to Berkeley. I'm a real musician. Man, it was tough. Like, they're underrated as musicians. Like, it was a lot of work, but it was amazingly fun. So I do that. I have a blog that I haven't updated in a while. I kept it going for a while, and I had a lot of readers, and I had contributors from all over the world, kind of analyzing. I'm really into songwriting, analyzing songs, kind of with the idea that in every great song, there's like something out of the box in it that really kind of makes it amazing. So I did that with that idea, kind of focusing on the type of music I like: 90s punk, hardcore, and I did that for a while. But I kind of feel like since I don't work in it, you know, if I – like the jingles, I did it for like a year and a half and then I lost interest. So I don't have to keep doing it. I can just do what I feel like and I go through phases and I love all of it.
Sure. You said you still like playing bar gigs and stuff.
Yeah, I play probably 2 gigs a month.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Go on.
And don't play trumpet as much because you have to play every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. And hey, next question for you is, you know, thinking about your current job.
Yep.
And, you know, as the essentially trademark attorney there with Nationwide, looking back to your Berkeley education, is there anything you feel your Berkeley education did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now, relative to if you'd, you know, stayed at Ohio State and then gone to law school?
A couple things. First off, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I'm from what is now a red state. I'm white. I went to Berkeley. I was in ensembles where I was the only white person, and that is not something I'd experienced. And it was amazingly valuable to kind of see more of what's out there than just, you know, this classic white American background I have, which, you know, not to get into those types of issues, but that was amazing. I mean, I was in ensembles with people who weren't even from America. I was not the majority all the time, and it was incredibly I loved it. It was great. And I got a lot out of it. And I feel comfortable in so many situations. And I almost feel more comfortable in, you know, I look for more difficult or, you know, things where I might be a little uncomfortable. I look for it now because I know that there's so much you can get out of that. And also, I think there's an entrepreneurial spirit at Berkeley. People that are really working hard and everybody, I think there's this feeling that people know that, you know, you're doing the classes and stuff, but everybody kind of knows it's really up to you if you want to do anything with this. Mm-hmm. The prevailing notion when you get to Berkeley, if you're talking about it, is you're going to get out of it what you put into it. Whereas I don't know if that's really, you know, you go to a regular school, regular undergrad situation, you know, typical liberal arts college, you're going to go and get your degree. And some people do that extra thing. But at Berkeley, that's it's ingrained. Like, you have to work towards your thing because it's not going to happen if you don't do it.
Right. And that guide you to say, I want to do trademarks, and you're going to work to make it happen.
Right. And I like that. And Berkeley, you know, everybody's so into their thing. But it was like in a way that was very supportive. You know, I knew a guy that was into shred guitar. I knew a guy that was trying to play and sing piano, like trying to do like Frank Sinatra stuff, you know, country songwriter. I had a friend that was a mandolin player and he was in a jazz ensemble with me, even though he was there to do like bluegrass mandolin. And it was cool to like learn to appreciate other people's niche things and get something out of that. And also knowing that your niche thing is, you should be doing it. You should follow your thing.
Gotcha. Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn this question around now. Because you went to Berkeley, of course, to study music, and knowing it gave that one degree, a Bachelor of Music. But mm-hmm. when you think back to your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, you know, it would have been really nice if Berkeley could have taught this to me? And they didn't.
So I think I have one thing, and I'm kind of open to the idea that it might be done by now.
Sure.
And I don't know because I've been, you know, I graduated 10 years ago. The basics of setting up and moving forward with kind of a business for what you're doing and kind of the background of how to do it, kind of maybe even like a workshop of – you know, I did a business class and it was, we had to come up with like a business plan, but if it would have been a little more hands-on and a little more about the logistics of it, and it might even have been something that would be, I would have thought it was boring at the time, but like how to actually set up a business. I think the accounting class I took, with Denny, is he still there?
do you mean Martin Dennehy?
Yes, Martin Dennehy.
He retired a couple years ago.
That class was amazing and is kind of what I'm talking about in terms of the tax and accounting stuff. Like, it was great and you can use it. I can use it right away. If we could add a little bit more, just understanding how a business functions and seeing whatever vehicle you're trying to work on, whether it's a band or a label or, management, like how it functions as a business. I don't think I really grasped that until much later, but it could have been me. And we might have come in, I missed it. So I'm, you know, there's a lot of stuff to learn at Berkeley. It's kind of hard to get all of it.
Sure. No, I get it. All right. Another question I have for you is, it sounds like, you know, even when you were still at Berkeley, you decided that entertainment law was what you wanted to do.
Yep.
And, you know, you wanted to work a little bit first. You did. You got to law school. You realized that, okay, being in entertainment law as opposed to just law wasn't necessarily that big a deal. You found what you liked. But you know, really, you had a pretty straightforward path to doing what you're doing now. You know, multiple stages.
Sure.
But each step. I'm sure you're aware that there are some recent Berkeley graduates who haven't yet found their path.
Yep.
And others, you know, stare at, maybe still at Berkeley, staring out into the big, scary world, saying, oh, my God, what's going to come next? For either or both of those groups, do you have any advice?
I think, it's funny that you and I totally respect you doing this, like characterizing my path is fairly straightforward, you know, because everybody I meet that finds out I went to Berkeley, if they know it, well, first off, they say, oh, do you know this person? I knew, and I never do. is like, well, how did you end up going? Like, it's a really weird transition from, you know, this super modern, fun, cool music school to law school. But I think the one thing I've learned, you know, at Berkeley, at law school, I think you can't take the status quo of how your path is supposed to go seriously. And you have to follow your path, because I got every time I, you know, when I went to Berkeley, I got resistance from people I knew. When I went from Berkeley to talking about law school, people didn't get it at all. And, you know, there's people who I interview law jobs and they see the music background and they don't get it. But it kind of like, you kind of have to ignore that. It's almost like kind of like dating. Like if you want to find the right person, you have to be yourself, because if it's the right person, being yourself is what works. And yeah. I think your path, you kind of have to do that also. There's like this status quo always of like, this is what you're supposed to do. I mean, at Berkeley, I felt a little bit like you're supposed to do the music business program, go work at a big label, go work at a distribution company, you know, go work for one of the cool startups, and then, you know, maybe start your own or work your way up. And not all of them were for me. And I think it's great for some people, but you have to kind of be able to be willing to not follow the status quo, because it might not even be the status quo in a couple of years. You know, you got to follow your thing.
Sure.
And if your thing is different than anything out there, that might be great. That might be the best thing.
That's great. And hey, just a little variant of that question, because of course the way that one becomes a lawyer is one goes to law school.
It's true.
And
that's true. You can't avoid that.
And also, you know, I'm sure you're aware, since it sounds like you looked at the index, that the interviews all get indexed by careers.
Okay.
So you're going to be in there, you know, certainly as a lawyer, and I might say, you know, in-house trademark attorney.
Sure.
But the point is, the people listening to the interview are going to be the ones who clicked on that. You see
right.
What I mean? Like, very few people are going to go down the line and, you know, listen to all 50 and a count of years at number 41. Right? So, like,
sure.
So let's say for people who are thinking about law school, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, sure. If you're coming out of Berkeley and you're thinking about law school, talk to the attorneys that work at Berkeley. I don't want to get negative here, but it's not for everybody. And I've met lots of people who have said, I want to go to law school. And some of them, I'm like, yeah, you should. And some of them, I'm like, you should not. And it's not because they can't do it, or it's not because they're not smart or talented or hardworking, but it's really not for everybody. And it's more so like, you're not going to like it and you're going to want to quit.
Any tips on how someone can figure out, I mean, besides talking to someone else, like any things which might make someone go, oh yeah, this sounds like good, or this sounds awful.
So in law school, you're going to read difficult to read things all day, every day for 3 years. So if you don't want to read all the time and take it and synthesize the material into what you need to learn, you're going to hate law school. It's going to be awful. It's very specific, and you know, you can get out and not do that, but to get through it, it's a slog. I mean, you have to be able to study. You have to be comfortable with traditional school. And a lot of people go to Berkeley because they don't like traditional school. I happen to kind of have been good at regular school, so it worked for me. But it's a really specific thing that you do all day for 3 years. And it's also, you know, law school is also just as humbling as Berkeley in a totally different way. You know, I had like a 3.9 at Berkeley. You know, I thought I was good at school. I get to law school, same, average or below average. You know, they're incredibly intelligent people who are really good at that thing. legal reading, getting a concept and applying it to the next situation. So if you can't be too thin-skinned, it'll humble you just like Berkeley did. So if you felt too humbled by Berkeley and you don't like reading, but if you like reading, if you like the legal concepts, if you thought the stuff the lawyers were talking about, and I think one of the big things for me in deciding really to do it and pursuing it, and the thing that has proven to be true is all the lawyers I ever met who do the kind of law I like are amazing people, and I like the way they think and talk, and I liked them, and I wanted to be in that world. And if you like, if Jay Fialkov is the coolest guy to you, then yeah, it might be for you. And if you didn't like those classes, you're not going to want to go to law school.
Understood. Great answer. Well, hey, I only have one last question for you, Scott.
Okay.
Which is, you have the mic, as they say, and you're being recorded. So is there anything else you'd like to say or anything we missed?
So if I was doing this my way, I would be doing like 6 takes and then cutting the best ones together.
I'm too lazy, man.
Sure. I don't think I do. I think I actually said some of the like major important things to me about, kind of following, not worrying about the status quo and just, okay. I don't think I have anything else to say. I think I said the stuff that's really core to what I would want to express to somebody who's interested enough to listen to this.
All right. Well, you certainly covered a lot of material. And hey, it sounds like you're doing some really great stuff and you're totally in your element. I will say I'm happy to hear that music's still part of your life while you're also, having this great career and what you're interested in.
Yeah, got to get that balance. That's the key for me, I think.
Yeah, great. So, hey, I really enjoyed this conversation. And yeah. Look for a message from me on LinkedIn in the very near future.
Okay.
And best of luck to you.
Yeah, and if anybody listening to this is interested in law school, I'd be happy to talk to anybody about it.
Oh, that's really nice. Could people reach you through your LinkedIn page?
I have one of the least Googleable names of all time. So my email address is scottgbrown@gmail.com.
Yeah. Oh, Scott G. Brown, no periods, no spaces, no dashes, just Scott G. Brown.
Yeah, I got in early.
Good for you. excellent. Very nice of you, Scott. So have a great evening.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Good talk to you, Kevin. Bye. Thanks. Guys.